yesterday, what really meant by spirituality and what the people generally take it to be. Spirituality is not the performance of the outer rites and rituals, reading of scriptures, visiting holy places, or performing this custom or that custom. Those are meant only for the preparation for spirituality. So we read scriptures, you know what do they contain? The masters who traversed into the beyond, and whatever they had experienced there, they gave very sweet stories of the future, after when you rise above body consciousness. Where the world philosophies end, there the religion starts. So that is, reading of scriptures give us it, what you said, interest to know what is beyond. This is something, reading about those travels what they had in their lives, but unless we also go there and see those things with our own eyes and experience the same thing of our own selves, that's quite a different thing. So reading of scriptures is the first thing. But you know the right interpretation thereof can only be given by somebody who has been to those three places already. If he has not been there, he will simply give their interpretation at the level of intellect, so each one will differ. So I am just putting before you, the first step is to read the scriptures which are with us, fortunately, of all masters who came in the past up to date. We are fortunate. But what do they really contain, as I submit to you? Those what they experience, we should also experience. Only then that is truly speaking meant by the word spirituality. Who we are, what we are, what is our connection with the body, whether we can rise above body consciousness at will, traverse into the beyond, higher planes are more beautiful than the physical plane. There are so many mentions in the house of our father. Macrocosm is in the microcosm. These are some of the statements given by those masters in the past who visited those places. By reading those things that creates an interest in us, we should also go and see. This is one thing. To visit the holy places of worship of masters, which are called places of pilgrimage. We go there just to remind what those masters who lived there preach. And also, by going there means reminding us of that higher life which they led. Similar, all other performances of the rites and rituals, going to the temple, light the candle there, ring the bell there, it is reminding us that this outer temple is made out of the bottle of man, which is the true temple of God, in which the light of God is effulgent and music of the spheres is reverberating within us. So that those are made and bottles for those who are beginners to know what is what. So performance, those are meant for good purpose. They are good actions because they are meant to know about our own self and know about our own God. They are symbols, they are kept. Similar in churches like that, in mosques like that, So they go to show the such light. You see, everywhere light is lit. Some form of music is there. So that only goes for those who are just preparing the way and anchor after knowing the truth, which is given by models outside, to realize, to see with our own inner eyes those very things which are demanded outside. So other rituals also stand the same. So there are two sides of religion. One is exotic, the other is esoteric. Exotic side, we are following. To remain in such social body is a blessing, otherwise there will be corruption. But to remain in some social body and do not derive that very thing for which purpose we have joined that special social body, it is, in few words, not deriving the full benefit of joining that social body. All religions, exotic side also, read scriptures of the masters, go to temples which are made out in marble of man body, and go to the holy places where those masters lived sometime, just to remind us of the higher goal before us, and that is to know God and to know ourselves. This is the exotic side. And the other thing, that we should have ethical life, normal life. So all, where are we, are these are good actions. They are meant for the purpose of knowing God. But it is knowing God is something else than to have some models to represent us, such like lights. Sound is within us, and such like sound is reverberating within us. You follow the difference between the two? So spirituality is the way back to God. Word religion also means, he means back, religion to bind. So binding our soul back to God. Word yoga also means the same thing. It comes from the word root yuj. That means joining ourselves to God. So there's a vast difference. One is seeing and doing. But you say worshiping. To see and worship, that's something else. To do, perform certain things for that original thing for which they stand for, it is a different thing. They are good actions. As we are the doer, we have to reap the whatever we sow, so shall we reap. They are good actions, we will have good results of them. But the masters lay before us the goal, see and then say. God is light when you inner eye, single eye is open to see the light of God. That's all right, God is light. God is reverberating in all creation. See that eye, that ear, with you. See really he is reverberating in all creation. Then praising God that he is reverberating all, permeating all creation. This is the goal of the saints, masters set up before us. Remain where you are. Those are not to be changed. This is the first step. Man is a social being. Must have some social body to live in. So masters, when they come, they don't touch social body. The social body difference I explained to you last night are due to climatic influences or customs prevailing in various countries or further to bigotry and narrow-mindedness. Truth is one, target is one, their orders are many. So all religions, wherever they are, we all have a goal before us to know God. And to know God, we must know ourselves. So So wherever you are, that's all right. So what all the scriptures say, that our goal is to know God. And all masters say that God is everywhere and the nearest approach is within your man body. The whole universe, the whole world, the earth below and sky overhead is the big temple of God. And the small miniature scale man body is the temple of God. And we who reside as well as that power resides, whom we have to meet. That I also explained to you last night, this a wonderful house of the man body in which we live. There are so many apertures, we cannot run away out of it. We are controlled. Body works so long as we are in the body, and we are in the body so long that power, which is called God into spiritual power, is controlling us in the body. Both the one who seeks Him and the whom He is after, both have the same place, same body to live in. But the pity it is that the one who has to see Him, is after Him, he is identified with the world outside. The only thing required, spirituality means withdrawing your attention from all outside and from the outgoing faculties and from the body below, come up to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes, whereas one leaves the body at the time of death. So Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, their soul has the same experience as it has at the time of death, of leaving the body. Now there's a vast difference between the two. Spirituality. Spirituality aims at beatitude, beatific vision. To see God, is there a possibility of seeing God? Master says yes. Which God? That God which came into expression. Absolute God, nobody has seen God at any time. When he wanted a one wish to be many, that God into expression power has two aspects, light and sound. That we can see, of course. Not with the eyes of flesh or bones or ears, outer ears. So I submitted to you last night, who is called a master? Who is a guru to sense of the world? And what do we take it ourselves at our own level? So guru or master is the one who is world made flesh, who has traversed access into the beyond. Their body works in the world, but their soul is in tune with God, mouthpiece of God. They appear to be engaged in all the world over outside, but whenever they want, they rise above body consciousness and traverse into the beyond. And those who meet them for the purpose, they give them a demonstration as to how to rise above body consciousness, with little thought of theirs. So this is, truly speaking, spirituality. Spirituality, no spirit in there, submitted yesterday, no spiritualism, no mesmerism, no hypnotism. So all what the masters say, tell us, we have to know God, where to go. We are now seeking in the temples. Those are models, like dolls put before you, to understand that such like God is light and such like sound beautiful. Outer custom, the other thing, your mental health, you can keep your body fit, have a devotional attitude. So these are good actions. But knowing God is something else that cannot be had unless you know yourself. So all masters said, know thyself. East or west. Knowing oneself means a matter of self-analysis, rising above body consciousness and knowing God. That is duty. So this process of knowing oneself and knowing God, withdrawing from all outside, rising above body consciousness, is called spirituality. What they see, what they say, they see that we have seen God. Where? In this very man body. What are those eyes which you have seen? They say those eyes are hidden, not the outer hour of flesh and bones which he can be seen. Which God? God into expression power, not the absolute God. Then why, we ask him, why don't we see? He says, because mind stands between you and God. Your souls are in the control of mind. Mind is under the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are dragging you to the enjoyments of the outside. So long as we do not rise above this delusion, and not by self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, we cannot see God. Like no light. They say we have seen, why can't we see? So all masters have said the same thing. We are sticking to the outside. All rituals, customs, and performance of prayers and devotional practices, which is related to the outgoing faculty, body or mind or interest. They are good actions. You reap the good results of it. Duration will go on, the same wheel of life will carry you on, come and go. When you are able to see that He is the God working all through creation, He is the controlling of all creation and us in the body, and we are mere puppets, that He is controlling all of that. So when we become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, then our ego is lost. So the results of the actions of the deep past will be there to bear fruit of that. So Master says, we have seen God. Where? I just refer to Guru Amar Das, who was in search of it for 70 long years. He performed all those rituals, ways of practices, other methods, performing havanas and others, whatever it is. He has been doing all 70 years, visiting various places of pilgrimages, and met all yogis and others. Ultimately, when he met his master, he gave him a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness, and came face to face with the become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, which is controlling us in the body in all universe. Then he said, it is a great blessing to such a living master. So ordinary teachers of the outer sciences, we have respect for them, whatever we have learnt at their feet. But this science is the ABC of this science starts when you rise above body consciousness. Where the world philosophies end, there it begins start. With all your outer devout actions and spending years and years in the performance of all outside practices, they are good actions. We cannot deny it. But the doership is there. You would have to bear the fruit of that. Unless you become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, your single eye or the third eye or the Shiv nature is open, your latent eye, deep tissue, you see that He is the doer, He is the controlling power of all, we are mere puppets, then only we wait the reactions of the past. So Guru Amar Das, when he had that privilege to sitting as the master, he told out, well, you are after God, yes, then why are you running outside? He is within you. already. Prophet Muhammad says that God has told me that I am so great that all these universes, all these planets, whatever are made, are not sufficient to contain me. I am more than that, more bigger than that. But he says, strange enough, I reside in the heart of a devotee. You see? If you want to meet me, go there, in which he is manifest. So I can reside in small heart there, in the man's body. All the world, universe are not said to contain me. So all masters say, he is within us. They give examples like that. You see, because there's, for instance, milk. So butter is in the milk, but you don't believe it. Unless, but milk is, you see, just made, what you say, curd, and curd is a frozen out of that to take butter, then say, really, butter is in the milk. Those who have not seen this process, they say, how can butter be in the milk? You see? So similarly they say, just, masters always tell us to just tap inside. They don't tell you to go around in the outward things, because whom you want to meet, he's already with you. He's waiting for you. So he says, this man body, which is the long cave, it's a long cave, dark inside. He says in this, that God, which cannot be seen, at the level of outgoing faculties or mind or intellect, that resides there. Why can't we say, first thing, he is inside you also, and all outer world is also his expression. As I submitted, that the earth below and sky overhead is the biggest church, biggest temple, there's no place where that God is, God into expression is not. But in the man body, inside also you can see, when your inner eyes open, you also see all outside. Now in the air, all atmosphere, you don't see, you see it is all vacant. There's nothing there. But if you see through a microscope, which magnifies a thing about 700 miles more, when you see through it, you find all this atmosphere full of insects. Whereas they are even now full of them, but as those things are not up to the level of a physical body, we cannot see. So when your attention is withdrawn from outside, outgoing faculties, rise above body consciousness, divide of all outer things, that inner eye is open. You see, God is pervading everywhere. God is light. So, He is within you also. All outer world is also His expression. But for those whose eyes are open, inner eye is open. So, Master say, how to have it? He says, sit at the feet of some master who will open your eye to see the light of God. As I submitted yesterday, that God sealed our ears and our eyes, and then that God comes in the form of man to open the seals. All masters say, Guru word means who can remove the darkness from before you and make the light of God effulgent, manifest. The word Guru means that. So, light is there. We are light. Take heed that the light is not darkness. To have that light within you is symbols of which are given all outer churches and principles. He says, because you got it out 70 long years, he says that I am holocaust. I sacrificed myself at the 2 feet of such a master, with whose grace my inner eye was opened and I began to see that God reverberating in all creation. That is called Naam, or word. God is nameless, God is wordless. When you want it to be many, that power that came to expression is called Naam, or called word. And the whole creation came into being after that. That God's expression power is the cause of all creation, and that permeates all creation. He says, I am sacrificed to my master who has made that bread of life, water of life, the God into expression, gave me a contact with that, by having which I am having now everlasting life. We are given a contact with someone who never dies, ever eternal. So our soul is also of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness, all intelligence, all attention. We are also conscious entities. We are also attention. So he says that bliss and sweetness, that beatitude that I had by coming in contact with that elixir or the nectar of God into expression power and Naam or word, by having that sweetness, my mind left all outer enjoyments. Master says, we see, why can't you see? Because mind stands in your way. Our souls are led away by mind, mind is led away by outward faculties, and outward faculties are driven like anything to the outward enjoyments. We are identified with that unless we rise above that. We cannot see. We cannot know ourselves too. But what is remedy? Unless the mind gets some more sweet, more enjoyment, as compared with the outside enjoyment, he won't leave outside enjoyment. So outer things, all practices, all customs, all readings give you for a while for which mind takes rest. After all, again it runs away. But God has provided within us that nectar of life, the water of life, and the bread of life, and which is the outer expression of the God into expression power, light and sun. So that has got the highest allegor when one's mind has that experience, that enjoyment, it does not again run to the outer enjoyment. Now it does not like to need the outer enjoyment, but when it gets a little taste of that higher bliss, then if he once goes inside, he would not like to come out.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Rudy Cascone. Are you there, Rudy?
Yes, I am, John. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
Carry on.
All right, thank you. Good morning. Today's reading is from Master's book, Naam or Word, Book 6 and Book 8, Guru Mantra and Diksha. There are quotations from other masters interspersed. Guru Mantra, the word, Master's word. In the Sikh scriptures, we often come across terms like Gurbani, Bani, Shabd, or Naam, all of which are synonyms. The masters of the highest order are always concerned with Nam or Shab, and they initiate seekers after truth into its significance, for it puts them on the path God. Christ calls it Word or Logos, Holy Spirit or the Comforter, through which we rediscover God in man and attain salvation. Listen ye, O friend, the devotee of the Lord has given me the word, truth, as Guru Mantra. The Master has given me the mantra of Harinam. With this boon, all my desires are fulfilled, Guru Arjan. This mantra of the Guru one may get by great good fortune. The word of the Master becomes manifest, O Nanak, if it is so ordained by God, Guru Arjan. This word, or Nam, is characterized by light and sound. In fact, through the grace of the Master, it manifests itself in each individual in the form of heaven's light, the shadowless light, light that never sea or land, self-luminous and radiant light that shines in darkness, light that is more lustrous than that of thousands of suns put together. It is heaven's sovereign light. In utter darkness, the Master's word, the Guru Mantra, shines forth into light. In the company of the Master, all are rescued and saved, Guru Arjan. I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, Christ. That ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, Saint Peter. The seed of Nam, or word, is in the deepest recesses of the human soul. The precious crest jewel of Nam, the word of God, is implanted by the devotee of the Lord in the heart of man, Guru Ramdas. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? St. Paul. The manifestation of Nam, a word, is possible only through the grace of the living Master, for it is simply his gift and comes from him. It cannot be earned. The Master has given me the perfect word or mantra, Guru Arjan. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, St. Paul. We are all unclean things, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, asaya.
Rudy, are you using a speakerphone there?
Yes.
It's kind of clicking in and out.
Okay, I'll use a regular phone. How's that?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, well, for grace of God bringeth salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we shall be saved. It is not possible to describe in words the greatness of Master's word, Guru Mantra, or the Holy Spirit. It affords the key to the kingdom of God for man-making and gradually leads to becoming God. Man regains the lost paradise as he comes to his own. He understands the true values of life, the essential unity of his own soul, and with the oversoul pervading everywhere and permeating in all, and culminating in the union of the two. He is now no longer a separate entity, but a conscious co-worker in the divine plan. sharing his glory and greatness. He is a man of all virtues and honored among all, to whomsoever the Master gives the mantra of the word, Guru Arjan. Jesus Christ describes the work of the Holy Spirit in this way: I will send him, the Comforter, unto you, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, Christ. The word of the Master is purely a gift of the Master. It can neither be earned nor learned. It comes when it comes and works by grace alone. Spiritual insight can neither be taught nor bought, but it may be caught like an infection from one infected with it. As light comes from light, so does life from life, and truly blessed is one who gets it. God can be worshipped in the company of a sadh, a disciplined soul or saint. The guru just gives the mantra of the word which he manifests, Guru Arjan. Guru mantra has a great power, a great powerful saving grace in it. At death, it comes forth in the radiant form of the Master to lead the spirit back to the mansion of the Lord, and the spirit thus escorted passes unhindered from plane to plane and is honorably received everywhere. In life's sojourn on this earth also, one passes his day far above the turmoil of life. Take ye the lesson in the word, mantra, from a master and practice the same. Those who love the Lord are ultimately saved at the time of death. O Nanak, those who practice the word, the mantra of the Master day and night, they shall certainly be saved. Guru Ram Dass. With the word of the Master, Guru Mantra, in the heart, one becomes fearless and can have no sorrow or affliction. None without the aid of a Master has ever been able to cross over the stormy sea of life with all his wits about him, Guru Arjan. Whosoever receives the word of the Lord, the Hari Mantra, from a Master, he escapes unscathed from the hell fires of the world, Guru Arjan. Four things remain eternally true: Nam, Sadhu, Guru, and Gobind. Nanak says, a rare soul in this world practices the word of the Master, Guru Mantra, Guru Tegh Bahadur. What is the life of one without contact with the word? Nothing better than that of a dog or a swine, an ass or a snake, Guru Arjan. Book 8, Diksha, or Initiation. In almost all the scriptural law, we come across in one form or another a term that stands for initiation, i.e., introduction of a person into the principles of the inner science. The Muslims generally use the word bayat for initiation, while others call it Diksha. Among the Christians, the admission to the church is known as baptism. The Hindus call it Duo Janma, or the second birth. This initiation, or introduction, into the tenets of new science is not something formal or by word of mouth only. Its significance is far deeper than is generally understood. It is tantamount to adopting an individual into the very life and spirit of the tenets that are introduced to him in theory. It is conveying a life impulse to the initiate and giving him first-hand experience of the source of life. It thus has twofold aspects, theoretical as well as practical. At the time of initiation, the Master explains to the individuals concerned the theory of the spiritual science, or paravidya, the knowledge of the beyond. It is an admitted fact that theory precedes practice, for a correct understanding of the subject is of paramount importance before one can put the theory into practice. A successful application and experimentation with verifiable results cannot be carried on without a correct knowledge and understanding of the subject. As spirituality is the science of the spirit or soul, a living principle, the very breath of life, an adept in spirituality must impart to every initiate a particle of his own life impulse called Jai Dan. Before the initiate can understand what the life of spirit is, as distinguished from the life of the flesh that he has been leading hitherto. For it is the spirit or soul alone that can apprehend and experience the oversoul. When freed from the trammels of flesh, the mind, the pranas or vital airs, and all the outgoing faculties, all of which constitute the outer man as engaged in the world and worldly pursuits on the sensual plane. By imparting his own life impulse, he instills true devotion in a person and unites him with the Lord, Guru Arjan. Who is competent to initiate? The initiation into the esoteric science of the soul can successfully and rightly be granted by some perfect saint or master, an adept in the art of science and science of paravidya, or the knowledge of the beyond. One who has not himself extricated and freed his spirit from the bodied bondage and transcended into higher spiritual regions, and who has not seen reality face to face, and who has not, by spiritual practice, become established in truth, cannot possibly do anything in this behalf. A saint of the highest order alone is competent to reveal the path and lead Godward, regardless of what we call him, Sant Satguru, Murshid I Kamal, Prophet, Messiah, or Master Soul. As light comes from light, so does life from life. The spiritual law by itself is unable to impart this life impulse. Meet a Satguru and take his initiation. Surrender thine all and peep within Guru Nanak. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, St. Peter. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, St. Paul. The instructions in the esoteric teachings consist of the exposition of Simran, Dhyan, and Bhajan, that is to say, repetition, mental with the tongue of thought only, of the words which are charged with the power of the master, concentration or meditation, fixing consciousness or gaze at the center of the two eyebrows, and linking the spirit with the saving lifeline within, ever reverberating in the form of the perennial sound current, the very life breath of the universe, of which the master himself is the living embodiment. As soon as a devotee is able to transcend the physical body, the radiant form of the master, Gurudev, appears in the subtle plane and becomes a guiding force to the spirit on the journey into higher spiritual realm, bringing him back to the true home of his father. Henceforth, the master spirit never leaves the soul, but continuously helps and directs, visibly and invisibly, directly and indirectly, in this life and in the life hereafter, as the occasion may demand. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, Christ. Every man, I will go with thee and be thy guide in thy most need and go by thy side, every man. No man, however learned he may be, however high his morals be pitched, can by his own unaided efforts rise above body consciousness. The experience of spirit withdrawal while living can be vouchsafed only by a master saint and by no one else. And without this transcendence, one cannot peep into the world beyond and take hold of the sound principle, the divine cord in man, the link between the Creator and his creation. It is a divine law that none can conceive of him without a Satguru, Guru Amar Das. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him, Christ. Initiation from a master soul is of paramount importance. Herein lies the secret of all esoteric teachings and esoteric experience. It means a new birth and a new life entirely in a new setting. This spiritual birth, a birth in the master, is called a second birth and enables a person to turn over a new leaf, to say goodbye to the past and march forward to this original home. The long-forgotten paradise, New Jerusalem, the holy city, Mukam Ihak Or Sach Khan. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, Christ. The kingdom of God, where it is? The kingdom of God is at present a lost dominion for us, ever since the fall of man, for his first disobedience to God's commandment, we stand ostracized from the Garden of Eden and have no access to it. Under the overbearing pressure of the world and worldly pursuits, we have become entirely extroverted and have no thought of God and his kingdom within. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, Christ. The priceless waters of immortality lie buried. Immortality lies buried and lost within the depths of the human soul. The call of the Master is, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, Christ. All this leads to one inevitable conclusion of death and life. For without it, one cannot rise into universal consciousness or cosmic awareness. This higher life of the spirit depends entirely on the grace of a living master, capable of imparting his life impulse and granting the saving lifeline within. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, St. Paul. With initiation, the spiritual sadhana or practice, one gradually becomes aware of his shortcomings and tries to weed them out. The more he purifies himself, the more he grows in divine life. As the scales begin to drop off, the true values of life become more and more apparent. The spirit gradually gets freed from the shackles of the world and is enabled to transcend the physical body and make flight into the higher regions. Hereafter, he walks not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Living in the world, he is no longer of the world. He now delights in the bliss of higher spiritual regions and not in the pleasures of the senses and sense objects. The gift of Nama word comes only from the master soul who, by interjecting his own life impulse, befits an initiate for the spiritual journey. The measure and speed of advance, however, depends on the individual's own makeup, the ground on which he stands, and the preparation that he may have made in past incarnations. As each one has a different background, each one has his own starting point. The seed is sown, but its unfoldment, growth, and development depends on the nature of the soil in which it is planted. The master interjects his own consciousness, light and sound, into each initiate. And once the contact with the divine link is established and the spiritual experience gained, however little it may be to begin with, at the lowest level, it can, by regular day-to-day practice, be developed to any length one likes until it becomes quite natural and normal, a matter of voluntary withdrawal of the spirit currents as and when one likes. The devotee of the master comes and goes at his will and pleasure with no let or hindrance. Each one, however, as said before, takes his or her own time for efflorescence and fructification. The dormant spiritual faculties begin to quicken with life, and the initiate feels within him a sort of fullness, a satiety, a blessedness. This is a gift imperishable and indestructible. It can neither be stolen nor washed away. The seed of spirituality once sown in the innermost depths of the soul must bear flowers and fruits in the fullness of time. No power on earth can stand in the way of its growth or stifle it in any way whatever. He who has once been initiated by a competent master is assured once and for all his liberation from the bondage of mind and matter. It is but a question of time. The seed of spirituality sown in him is bound to sprout and fructify. The spirituality, when awakened, and the spiritual experience gained, must develop, and the master power cannot rest contented until the child owned is reared and taken home to the house of the Father. The true knowledge dawns only with initiation. For without initiation from a master soul, one can have no knowledge. There can be no jhana, true knowledge, without meeting a master soul. No meditation without a first-hand experience, Guru Arjan. But one who is fortunate may have the experience of both through the grace of a master saint. It means taking in a particle of life's living principle through some God-man or polarized God, i.e. a pole, from where the power of God works in this world. In the light of this knowledge, the mind gradually loosens its tentacles, which are holding the soul in hoops of steel, so that the spirit is able to free itself from the mind and know and perceive her own true nature. O Nanak, without knowing oneself by self-analysis, one wanders ever in the wilderness of delusion. Guru Tegh Bahadur. The whole world is in the throes of attachment and infatuation. A rare devotee of the master escaped from the mighty maze of mind and matter. This infatuation keeps in perpetual motion the wheel of life, and it takes one time and again into the grip of Kal, Guru Nanak. The process of liberating a human soul from the labyrinth of the sensual plane lies in the hands of a competent master of paravidya, or the science of the beyond, competent both in the theory and practice. One who has himself liberated his soul can at will go to the higher spiritual regions, can take others as well. It is a work of great trust and responsibility, which the so-called masters, with which the world always abounds, cannot do. Those who prescribe outer yogic practices or the performance of rites and rituals, sacrifices and austerities, pilgrimages and the like, are yet ignorant of the inner path that begins from the headquarters of the soul above the sensory plane, and for which transcendence above body consciousness is the primary condition. It is there that one has to knock, as Christ put it, and he guaranteed that it shall be opened. The philosopher Emerson calls it tapping inside. In Ram Kali War, Mohalla 5, of the Guru Granth Sahib, we have a pen picture of the masters of Aparavidya, or the empirical knowledge of the world. He, while working for a religious merit, takes on upon himself a load of sins and goes a-begging from door to door by offering initiation. He himself has no faith in the Vedas or other scriptures and wants all worship and adoration unto himself. Being a Qazi, he sits in judgment over others. While telling the beads, he ventures to expound Godhead. With bribes, he tramples on the rights of others. To the questions, he offers quotations from scriptures. Guru Arjan. We live in a tumultuous sea of life without any moorings and are carried along by the fearful currents of attachments and infatuations. A rare devotee of the master may be able to successfully face the storm and stress and cross over to a haven of safety, but the rest float down helplessly. If even after initiation, an initiate takes recourse to disciplines and practices other than those enjoined by the master, he cannot rid himself of worldly ties and takes a longer time to reach his native home. All are drowned in the love of the world. A rare devotee of the master may ferry across. Because of attachment, one comes over time and again. Trapped in infatuation, one cannot but abide in the realm of death. And after initiation from the master, people engage in rites and rituals. Neither can they snap the bonds nor reach the goal. It is his glance of grace that can pull down the mighty maze, and then, O Nanak, one may get absorbed in him, Guru Nanak. The true initiation is nothing but the introduction to Nam and the contact with the live creative principle of sound, which can be listened to, experienced, and practiced from day to day. Only the predestined get in touch with the master soul. With the water of life, Hari Ka Nam, he grants the true initiation, Diksha, Guru Nanak. Live ye in the haven of Sad. Live ye in the haven of Asad, and leave all thy wisdom and knowledge. Let the master's instructions, Guru Diksha, abide in thy heart. This, O Nanak, may happen through the writ of the Lord, Guru Nanak. Thank you, Master. Thank you again.
Thank you, Rudy, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today there were 74 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this satsang for us. Please hang up your phone.